Welcome back to Stop Christian Nationalism. Donald Trump is not yet back in office, but his agenda is already moving forward with a new United States Congress. Yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the first standalone bill of its current session. And this one is a whopper. H.R. 29. They call it the Lincoln Riley Bill because Lincoln Riley is the name of a person who was killed by an immigrant. Being killed by anybody is a terrible thing. Of course, we have lots of murders in the United States that are committed by U.S. citizens. In fact, many, many more murders are committed by U.S. citizens than by immigrants. Nonetheless, murders by immigrants, murders by people who originally came from countries other than the United States of America, are a special priority for the current government run by Christian nationalists. And that's because Christian nationalists have as one of their primary goals the definition of the United States of America as a new kind of nation, one that is not defined by democratic rules and values, not defined by freedom, but defined by a certain cultural and ethnic identity. And that agenda goes all the way back to the Bible. It runs through the Bible, all the way from Genesis, where you have Abram running around, going to war against his neighbors, who were Canaanites. They were actually all in the same culture. They spoke the same language. They actually worshiped the same gods. But Abram decided that there was just going to be one of those gods, who was named Yahweh, who was going to be now made the only God, the only way. And so, starting then, there was the effort to create this sense of a nation that stood apart on the basis of religion, and an exclusive religion, not allowing diversity of worship. And that runs all the way to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, where we have Jesus coming back with a sword to smash the nations, with an iron scepter, and to become the monarch of the entire world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not to become president, not a representative, not to establish a democracy of the people, but to have one voice ruling them all in a one world government. Of course, that went forward through history with the Roman Empire spreading Christianity at the point of a sword, and with the post-Christian kingdoms setting themselves up with the divine right to rule of their kings, establishing nations on the basis of their religious identity. And, you know, at the beginning of the United States of America, as a constitutional republic, the very first amendment to our Constitution set up a different vision. The Constitution in its original body says there's supposed to be no religious test for public office. And the Bill of Rights, in the very first amendment, says that there's no law, there's to be no law establishing religion in the United States of America. Of course, the Bill of Rights has a lot of other great things. It establishes due process of law. You're supposed to have a fair trial if you're accused of something. You cannot be punished without being convicted by a jury of your peers. This is basic stuff of democracy. But Christian nationalists want to do away with that in order to create a nation that is defined by its ethnic and religious identity instead. And H.R. 29 is a major step in that process. Because in order to establish their religious and cultural sense of a nation, they've got to get rid of people who don't fit first. Donald Trump has described it as having pure blood in the United States of America, to get rid of the vermin H.R. 29 allows for that to begin with mass deportation of people simply because of what their nation of origin was, even if they were brought here as infants. And to have a lot of the wrong sort, according to Christian nationalists, the wrong sort of American citizens be caught up in the dragnet and getting rid of them too. In order for that to happen, you've got to dismantle the protections that we have. Among them, the right to a fair trial, to not be punished before you are convicted by a jury of your peers. H.R. 29 seeks to end that right. I want to let someone who knows a lot more about the law in general, because he's a lawyer and he's a member of Congress, Jamie Raskin, explain what's at stake in this bill.
This bill would upend 28 years of mandatory immigration detention policy by requiring that any undocumented immigrant arrested for theft, larceny, or shoplifting be detained even if they are never convicted or even charged with a crime. This is a radical departure from current law, which since 1996 has generally required mandatory detention only for persons who are criminally convicted or who admit to having committed certain serious crimes. That is, when criminal guilt is certain and established beyond a reasonable doubt. Under this bill, a person who's lived in the United States for decades, say for most of her life, paid taxes and bought a home, but who was mistakenly arrested for shoplifting, would not be freed to resume her life, but rather would be detained and deported even if the charges are dropped and even if the police admit that the arrest was mistaken. Mandatory detention and deportation from the country just for having been arrested, even if never charged. How can the criminal justice process be trusted to identify a truly guilty person just with an arrest and no indictment, no prosecution, no cross-examination, no neutral adjudication by an impartial judge, no fact-finding, and no criminal conviction by a 12-person jury beyond a reasonable doubt? Mandatory detention has always been reserved for people who are convicted of crimes and actually commit crimes. Expanding the detention requirement to include every person who's merely been accused of or arrested for, even if not charged for, shoplifting, for example, collapses the distinction between actual conviction on serious offenses versus simply being charged with or arrested for something very minor, even if the charges don't even lead anywhere. Like many of the immigration-related bills the GOP is now advancing, this one seems to follow a simple strategy. Pick a crime, paste into it a template immigration law covering convicted criminals, and then require detention or deportation of certain persons merely accused of committing the crime or arrested for committing the crime. No due process required at all. This allows us to get up and demonize immigrants without doing anything to fix the immigration system and to act tough without actually making America safer or solving any of the problems within the immigration laws.
Let me sum that up. H.R. 29 is a new piece of legislation that would allow for the Department of Homeland Security to take someone as its own prisoner on the mere basis that that person was arrested or charged with a crime. Not convicted for a crime, not having pled guilty for that crime, even if that person was not criminally charged with that crime, if they were arrested and accused of that crime merely by being arrested upon suspicion that they might have something to do with it. So there's no grand jury, there's no process involved. This is all about the removal of due process. If you are in the United States and you are not a citizen of the United States, If the United States Senate passes this bill and then Donald Trump signs it into law, you can be seized by the Department of Homeland Security and put into a detention camp. That's a generous word for what they're planning. These are concentration camps. A detention camp with the Department of Homeland Security, whisked away, and be made a prisoner there for any length of time. They could keep you in that Department of Homeland Security prison forever, or they could deport you. They could send you to a foreign country where you have never lived before and you don't know the language. They could just kick you out of the United States on the basis merely of not being a United States citizen and being accused of a crime. No opportunity to defend yourself in court. Here's another member of Congress explaining the stakes of what that means to our constitutional right to due process.
Among other things, this legislation would subject to mandatory detention any undocumented immigrants who are merely charged with committing an act of theft or shoplifting, even if they are innocent. This means that someone who's merely accused of shoplifting, someone who might be innocent, who might be the victim of mistaken identity, and who has not had the opportunity to clear his name, would be subject to mandatory detention. This bill is so broad that it would lead to the detention of people who have committed no crime and have no intention of harming anyone. That flies in the face of all notions of basic due process and reason. It's both pernicious and absurd. And because this bill is so sweeping, even dreamers and people living here on temporary protected status, people who may have lived here in this country for decades and shortly after their birth, could be subject to the bill's harsh provisions.
What we are entering into is a new vision for the United States of America, where due process of law is not taken for granted. And here's the thing that you're not going to hear members of Congress say, because it's really sensitive, but it is the subtext of everything that's going on. Once you start creating categories of people who have due process of law, if they are accused with a crime, but then you also have other categories of people who don't have due process of law if they are accused of a crime, you actually make it possible for anybody, regardless of what category they exist in, to be shoved through a system that is designed to punish them without a trial, without the right to confront their accusers, to defend themselves before a judge and a jury. You create a system that is designed to cover up police abuses, to cover up the process of channeling people into punishment before they ever get a chance to defend themselves. That's what the danger is. It's not just to non-citizens. It's not to people who are undocumented alone. It's to anybody at all. Because if you have a process for punishing people without any right to put the facts before a court, well, the fact is that anybody can be accused of being a non-citizen, accused of being here illegally, okay? I want to talk about a specific case in which this has happened recently. And it's happened under Joe Biden. And this is something that's really dangerous, is that because Donald Trump has been rattling his saber and he's been getting a lot of good support in the public for this, because he's been making so much noise about how dangerous immigrants are, Democratic politicians have been tempted into this position of going along with what Donald Trump is saying and trying to get their own success, trying to get voters to support them by imitating Donald Trump. And Joe Biden did this too, by getting tough on the border crisis. What border crisis is there really that's impacting your life? Is there a moderate strain on some public resources in some places? Yes, there is a problem that needs to be addressed with common sense legislation that upholds the rule of law in the United States while reforming the immigration system so that we don't have an out-of-control process. But that's a management issue. That's not what H.R. 29 is all about. And it's not what getting tough on the border is really all about. And that's the problem when Democratic politicians go along with Donald Trump's plans to make a scapegoat of people who cross the border, to make a scapegoat of even legal immigrants here, given the permission to be here and to work, like the people in Springfield, Ohio, for example. Well, what happened under Joe Biden and his getting tough on the border quite recently was a case in which a woman was married to a United States citizen. So the husband is a United States citizen. The wife is somebody who's trying to immigrate to the United States, being married to her husband, who is a U.S. citizen. And she became pregnant. They were going to have a baby. And because she was pregnant, and because she was not feeling very well in her pregnancy, she missed one immigration hearing. And then she gave birth. So she's got her newborn baby. Now, that newborn baby has a father who is a U.S. citizen and was born on U.S. soil. That baby is a United States citizen. But what happened was, because she missed one hearing, she was seized all of a sudden. And with her baby, who was a United States citizen, she was taken and put on a plane and flown out of the country. She was deported, and she was not given the opportunity to explain why she had missed just one immigration hearing while she was pregnant. And her baby, a United States citizen, was deported too, splitting a family apart. It's already beginning, even under Democrat Joe Biden, because the Democrats are trying to imitate the harsh, frankly fascist approach of Donald Trump in order to gain support with voters. Republicans justify this by invoking the name of Laken Riley. So H.R. 29 is known as the Laken Riley Act, because Laken Riley was murdered by an immigrant. But the thing about H.R. 29 is that it doesn't require somebody to have committed a violent crime in order to go through this process, which leads to deportation. All that H.R. 29 requires is that a person be arrested and not even criminally charged with shoplifting. Yes, this legislation specifically mentions shoplifting. It makes shoplifting the very low threshold. We're talking about if you are in a convenience store and you pick up a candy bar and you walk out of the store and you don't pay for it, maybe absentmindedly, you can be arrested for shoplifting. Or what's worse, if you are targeted as an individual that the government wants to get rid of by putting in a Department of Homeland Security prison and then deporting you, you can merely be accused of being not a citizen of the United States, merely be arrested and accused under the suspicion of having shoplifted, even if you never, ever did that. All because Laken Riley was murdered, people can be accused of shoplifting, and then they can be deported. Politicians are going to tell you that this is because of what happened to Laken Riley. There was an immigrant, and he was not detained. And then he killed somebody. He murdered someone. And here's what they want you to believe. They want you to make a logical leap. They want you to make the inference that because that happened once with one person, that it is therefore a national crisis. Here's a Republican member of Congress yesterday making that plea to please stop what happened to Laken Riley. Stop it from happening to anyone else.
But without this law,
A future Democratic president could once again release dangerous illegal aliens back onto our streets to prey on our people and destroy innocent young lives like Lake and Riley.
What you just heard is a Republican member of Congress saying that if we don't pass H.R. 29, if we don't pass this legislation that enables the U.S. government to detain anyone on the mere accusation of having shoplifted and put them into a Department of Homeland Security detention camp and then deport them, if we don't do that, then the government could release all these people onto the streets who are going to target your neighbors, your friends, your family members for murder. They make it sound as if this is what's happening right now, that immigrants are all out to get you. But what is actually happening? Is there really a crisis at the border? Is there really a big crime wave from immigrants? No. Here's Jamie Raskin again.
The murder rate is way down in America. Unlawful immigration at the southern border is now below where it was when Donald Trump left office 4 years ago.
Yes, you heard that right. Here is the actual situation that we're looking at. Violent crime is down. Border crossings are down. There is not a murderous crime spree in America of any kind, much less one that is being inflicted upon us by illegal immigrants. There is not a border crisis that is surging forward out of control. Republicans and the Democrats who are collaborating with Republicans are going to tell you that there is a out-of-control border crisis, but it's simply not there. They're going to tell you that there's a murder crisis, a crisis of violent crime, and people are afraid and we're being invaded all across the country, but it simply is not true. It's not happening. But Congress is acting as if it is, because Congress yesterday, they passed H.R. 29. And so what is at stake is that innocent people now can be taken into custody, and then they can be handed over to the Department of Homeland Security. And then from the Department of Homeland Security, they're put into a detention camp and they can be deported, sent out of the United States, just because they have been accused of a crime, or just even have been arrested without being charged with any criminal action at all. And this may sound like, well, that doesn't happen very much, but actually it happens a lot. A lot of people get arrested for crimes that they did not commit. And if we have a new government that wants to get rid of a number of people, Congress is now handing Donald Trump a tool for doing that, for enacting mass deportation. Pramila Jayapal, another member of Congress, explained just what that sort of scenario might look like. An innocent person being arrested. Does that ever happen? Oh, yes, it does.
Unfortunately, there are countless real-life examples of people getting wrongfully arrested for crimes that they didn't commit. In 2019, a man in New Jersey was arrested for shoplifting and trying to hit a police officer with a car because facial recognition software falsely identified him as the perpetrator. He spent 10 days in jail, even though he was actually 30 miles away from where the crime was committed. If he had been a DACA or a TPS recipient and this bill had been enacted, he would be subject to mandatory immigration detention, even though he was innocent of the crime of which he was accused. People deserve to have their day in court and are innocent until proven guilty. That seems to be something that the majority has forgotten or doesn't seem to care about.
What H.R. 29 is all about is an end to the presumption of innocence in the United States of America. And this is a legal principle that is underneath everything that we have as a democracy that enables us to live in freedom, to not live in tyranny, to not have a dictatorship. What U.S. Representative Pramila Jayapal just described was the experience of a man who was falsely identified using artificial intelligence and facial recognition software. even though he couldn't have committed the crime, okay, he was still arrested and he was still charged with the crime, even though he was 30 miles away from the crime at the time. It takes time to establish evidence for your innocence. In the tradition of freedom and liberty in the United States of America, under the rule of law, in a liberal democracy, there is the presumption of innocence because it is so easy for the government to accuse people of crimes and then to mistakenly convict and punish the wrong people. And this is about basic philosophy. If you have somebody who is accused with a crime, do you believe that it is more important to convict people and punish people? Or do you believe that it's more important to err on the side of making sure that you get all the evildoers out there who could ever possibly commit a crime? What H.R. 29 does is declare that it is more important to get every last potential criminal in the United States under lock and key, to put them in prison, to put them in Homeland Security detention camps, because they might commit a crime. That's what the whole thing about Laken Riley is, because the murderer of Laken Riley was arrested on suspicion of shoplifting, but there wasn't sufficient evidence to charge him or to convict him. And so he was let go. That's the way the law is supposed to work. And then, yes, sometimes a person who commits shoplifting or was suspected of shoplifting then goes on to murder a person. That does happen. But also sometimes people murder people who are never convicted or even charged or arrested for anything with shoplifting. And actually, then if you take a look at the statistics, the people who have been arrested for shoplifting in the United States, almost all of them never go on to commit murder. But what H.R. 29 declares is that that's not good enough. Even if most people who, or they're just charged with shoplifting, or they're just arrested upon suspicion of shoplifting, even if one of those is gonna go on and commit a murder, all of the people who have ever been even suspected of shoplifting must be put in prison. That's what H.R. 29 says. Because what H.R. 29 does is reverse the presumption of innocence. To end the presumption that you are innocent until proven guilty. What H.R. 29 does, it will do when it is passed by the Senate and then signed into law by Donald Trump, is it's going to create a presumption of guilt to say that you are guilty until proven innocent. And in a country where the government can presume that you are guilty of a crime, that means it can punish you first, or it can punish you just because you look suspicious, just because you look like you don't belong, just because you belong to one of those classes of people who is put under automatic suspicion, like foreigners, but not just foreigners. Let's say foreigners and gay people and black people. And you know all the groups, and we can start to lump in journalists there. Anybody that the government suspects might be guilty of even a minor crime under H.R. 29 can be put into a Homeland Security detention camp for as long as they like, and then they can deport you from the United States. That is what is at stake with this law. And you know, Republicans are going to tell you that we have been unprotected from immigrant crime under the present law, that present law has been weak and has been mollycoddling all of these criminals invading the United States. But that is actually not true. Here is Jamie Raskin again.
He said, how can we go back to our districts and not defend the immediate deporting of people who have committed theft? That's what the law is. They want to change the law to go from someone who's actually committed theft or been convicted of theft to people who've been charged with it, even if the charges have been dropped, or arrested for it, even if charges were never brought in the first place. So I think that the misstatement of the meaning of this legislation speaks very deeply to what an opportunistic exercise this really is. What the gentleman was asking for is the law today.
Now, even if you are okay with the United States of America living under a presumption of guilt where you have to prove that you're innocent, and where people who are merely suspected of shoplifting a candy bar, merely accused of that, can be put away into a Homeland Security detention center and then deported from the United States. Even if you're okay with that, you ought to oppose H.R. 29. And that's because the very process through which the U.S. House of Representatives passed this bill yesterday was corrupt. It was a terrible process. There were no hearings that were allowed before this bill came to the floor for a vote. No one had an opportunity to make amendments to make the law better. And what's more, there was no effort to contain the cost. Because if you think about it, Donald Trump's plans for mass deportation, for putting millions upon millions of people who are living in the United States into Department of Homeland Security detention camps, and then flying them out of the United States, that's going to cost a fortune. It's going to break the bank. And Elon Musk is saying already that we're going to have to cut veterans' health benefits. People who have been to war for this country are not going to be able to go to the VA anymore because Elon Musk says we don't have enough money because he wants to give tax cuts to his billionaire friends. They're cutting things like that. They're going to cut things like Medicare, Medicaid. They're going to make you work longer before you get Social Security. But then they're going to spend this huge amount of money to deport people on the presumption of their guilt. Here are Jamie Raskin and Pramila Jayapal on the floor of the U.S. Congress again yesterday, speaking to these issues.
Imagine how much money a sweeping mandatory detention proposal like this will cost the federal government at a time when Republicans are talking a big game about cutting budgets, but not this one. Why? Because this is a great boon to those for-profit detention companies who make enormous profits from mandatory detention when there are far more effective and cheaper ways to address the issue. And who pays for all of this? The taxpayers. Even in a Republican trifecta, ICE has limited resources to detain and remove folks. But in this bill, like President Trump's enforcement priorities, we seek to use those resources on people who committed low-level crimes or even no crime at all. That makes no one safer and costs a lot of money.
This legislation does not move the ball forward on any of the problems facing America. And they are being moved under closed rules, without a hearing, without any legislative scrutiny. This means that no member, not only just Democrats, but Republicans too, no member can offer any amendments to repair the gaping flaws and gaps in these slapdash political bills.
H.R. 29 is an expensive, badly prepared piece of legislation that was rushed through the U.S. Congress, which undermines all of our freedoms and gives more power to Donald Trump to persecute his enemies and institute a Christian nationalist tyranny in the United States. But here's the worst part. It's not just the Republicans who voted for this piece of legislation. 48 Democratic members of the United States Congress, of the U.S. House of Representatives, joined with the Republicans to give Donald Trump the power to engage in mass deportation without any due process of law. These Democrats joined with the Republicans to give Donald Trump the power to persecute his enemies, using immigration as an excuse, targeting people in order to purify the blood of America. This is pure fascism. This is giving Donald Trump more power, and 48 Democrats joined with the Republicans. Why? Because these 48 Democratic members of the U.S. House of Representatives care more about maintaining power for themselves than they do about your fundamental legal rights. We are at a time when more and more people, whether they are politicians or leaders of massive corporations like Amazon or Disney through ABC News, these organizations and individuals are bending the knee to Donald Trump because they're seeing how things are going. They're seeing that Donald Trump is accumulating more power, and instead of having the decency, instead of having the courage to stand up to Donald Trump, these people are bending the knee and they are submitting to him. And what's more, they are helping Donald Trump to mass more and more power. Already it's beginning, and it's still 2 weeks until Donald Trump is even inaugurated as President of the United States. 48 Democrats from the U.S. House of Representatives need to hear from their constituents that we do not agree with what they have done, that we do not agree with the presumption of guilt. They need to hear from you. Now is the time when we are all being tested, and now is the time when you need to stand up and be heard. If one of these 48 Democrats represents you in Congress, then they need to hear from you today. The names of these 48 Democrats are in the show notes of this podcast episode. Please stand up, because without all of us pulling our weight, our democracy is going under. Oh, no. No.